I feel the need of the help of God tonight, need your prayers. I want to read a few verses tonight out of the 9th chapter of Genesis. In the 12th verse of the 9th chapter of Genesis, "And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." That's reading the 12th through the 17th verses of the 9th chapter of Genesis. My thought for tonight would be divine tokens. God, in the previous chapter, we can read, had instructed Noah and had given him warning that the destruction of the earth was at hand. And we find that Noah and his family found grace in the sight of God. And Noah trusted and he believed God in this promise. And God instructed him to begin the construction of this ark or this boat. And I said a few words about it a few nights ago, but I want to reiterate. I want us all to get ourselves in the mindset of Noah and these people at this time. To us today, a flood that would require a boat may not seem too far-fetched. We can turn on our news from time to time, and even in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, we could see how that people were at the point of needing boats for safety, for survival. That is, even in today, a rare thing. But in the time of Noah, it was just flat out unheard of. No man up until that point in time had ever seen rain fall out of the sky. And to picture or to imagine that God was going to bring destruction by way of water upon the earth had to seem such an impossible thing. But we see that Noah believed God. And even today, as we try to preach the word of God and we try to tell of a future day of destruction of this earth by fire, it is very hard for even us to picture and imagine those things, much less the world that is out there in sin. And Jesus himself even spoke of that time, saying that the world would be in much the same state as the world was in the time of Noah. That they would be eating and drinking and being merry and given in marriage and all of these things. Basically, the Lord said that they would be going about their business as usual. And they would not believe that promise. Many people spoke the other night of how that the date of 6606, where many people were taking bets and odds on whether that would be the last day. Well, these people have some sort of a conception that there is going to be some end.
because they speak of it. But truly, they don't understand what that day will mean to them. If they did, they would not be making such light of it. And in fact, if they truly believed that that was the day that the Lord was coming back, and they truly understood the implications of that, they would have been calling out upon an almighty God and not making light of the situation. So we see at the time that God came to Noah and spoke to him and instructed him and told him that the end of all flesh is at hand. He said, prepare you an ark. Noah had no idea how to prepare an ark. You know, I often marvel at men that create inventions that have never been anything likened unto it. You know, I marvel at the creation of the automobile and all of these things. But even in those things, they started out with very simple plans, and they have developed over time. But here we have Noah, and God says, prepare an ark. And God goes on to say, and in this fashion shall you prepare it. And God just, he gave to Noah the exact detail of how he should prepare this ark. Both the material, the size, what it should be shaped like and constructed, how many windows and doors, which we find was only one. And Noah listened to God, and he constructed that ark just as God told him to do it. And all the while, Noah was telling those about him what the situation was. And they mocked him and they scorned him, just as they mock the man of God today for saying that the end is at hand. But he went on about his business. I believe that he was much like Abraham in that he believed God and he walked with God. And regardless of what man may say, he was going to accomplish what God had told him to do. He worked many years in the construction of this ark, preparing it against that day. We find that there is a great picture or a great understanding that we can see in this as it relates to our own salvation and God's plan of salvation. You see, when I was a young boy, when God convicted my heart, I did not understand the plan of salvation. I had been raised in a missionary Baptist church. I had been taught about Jesus in Sunday school. But until God started dealing with my heart, I had not any understanding of how to seek it. Yes, I had heard people say, seek the Lord. When you become lost, when you become troubled, seek the Lord. But I had no understanding of how to do that until it came time to do it. And when God showed me that my destruction was at hand, he showed me clearly where my end would be. And he gave me the plan of how to escape that. And in very much the same way, he said, in this fashion. You see, the preaching of the gospel had not affected me in such a way before. But it did that night. And when that preacher said, you need to seek the Lord and you need to put your trust in Jesus, it wasn't the preacher that was instructing me on these things, but it was an almighty God. And I came there as a 12-year-old boy, probably with an 8-year-old boy's knowledge. I wasn't very smart. But you don't have to be very smart, because it's a plan of God, and God reveals it as he sees necessary. And I believe that the most simple-minded person that has ever been born, when God clearly shows the way, they can find the way of salvation. I thank God that it's not reserved for the doctors and scholars, because this boy here wouldn't be going to heaven. But Noah went about preparing this ark. And then the rains came. And God instructed him to take his family and two of every living creature and to enter into that ark. And God closed the ark and it rose up on the waters. And we know that Noah prepared it just right because it floated. You see, if God deals with your heart and you feel the need to seek God, when trouble comes your way, you can know whether or not you found him or not. You see, as those waters came down and they began to rise and that boat began to lift up, Noah possibly could have had some doubts whether the water was going to get in there. But he knew that he had built that thing according to the plan of God. And I know tonight that my salvation is built on the plan of God. And though the waters may raise up and I may be tossed to and fro in the sea and I may be scared, the bottom line is I know that it's prepared right. And I pray that tonight, if you're here and lost, that you would find yourself with the contentment and peace in knowing that whatever may come your way, that your boat's going to float. Because it's built after the fashion of God. Now, Noah, after the waters began to subside, the ark landed there on the mount. It found itself on firm ground. And this is where we get to the reading lesson. God gave him this covenant. And he said, Noah, see here, this bow, this rainbow I'm putting in the sky, this is a covenant. And it's a covenant between me and you. When God says that there's a covenant between he and man, it's so that when he looks at it, it will be a reminder to him. And when man looks at it, it will be a reminder to him. So that both can see this symbol or this token and they can understand the situation between themselves and God. I believe that everyone that is saved has a divine token with God. And I believe God can look at that for an individual and he can say that you will not be destroyed because of the token that I have made and it's between me and you. And likewise, the child of God does not have to wander aimlessly in this life, wondering whether or not they have been saved, but surely they can see the token of their salvation just as surely as even in this very day when the storms arise in the sky and then the sun comes up from the other side, we can see the rainbow still in the clouds. You see, that promise was given many thousands of years ago and the rainbow has not ceased. And it will not cease come season after season, day and night until the Lord returns. Because it's a promise of God, and a promise of God standeth sure. God cannot lie, and God cannot turn against himself. He made that promise that he would never destroy the earth again by way of water. And it was to Noah, but it was to his generations after him, even to us today. So that when we even today read this in the scriptures, we can look towards the sky and see the rainbow. And I love to see rainbow. I can remember as a kid, I used to love to look at the rainbows and try to find both ends of it. But there's much more value to the rainbow than just beautiful colors. Because it truly stands as a covenant even today that God will not destroy the earth again by way of water. You know, I used to think as a kid, and I know all of you used to hear the old tale that there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And I can remember as a child, as we'd drive down the road, whether it was with my mother or grandparents, I'd say, let's go over there where that thing's at. Let's find it. Do you ever want to find the end of the rainbow? Well, the token that God has given us of salvation, there is a pot of gold at the end of it. And it stands sure. And I can try and I can drive to the end of that rainbow from now till eternity and I won't find it, but I'm going to find the end of my salvation. And it's going to be more valuable and more precious than any pot of gold. The token that God has given us. I want to start with this. There is a token of our salvation that God only sees and we cannot. And that token is the blood of Jesus. We often talk about the blood of Jesus being applied to the heart. And we're speaking in symbolism. We're speaking figuratively. We know, in fact, and indeed, that the blood, the literal blood of Christ, cannot be applied to our hearts. But in symbol, what that means is that that token or what that blood represented has been used as a covenant between us and God. And God can look and he can see that blood and he knows that he is in agreement with us. Now, we can't see the blood. But we know that it has been applied to our hearts because the scripture says over in the book of Ephesians in the first chapter that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and we know that the earnest of the Spirit is in our hearts. He said in 2 Corinthians in the first chapter, in speaking about Jesus, he said, "In whom ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and in whom you believed, you were sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." The earnest, it's the down payment. The earnest is exactly that. It's an advance for an eternal security that we know is to come. Brother Miller spoke tonight of being able to feel the Spirit of God, but we haven't felt anything yet. It's because we have just been given a little bit of it. We've just been given a little bit of the earnest of our inheritance, that we can know that a covenant exists between us and God, that we can stand sure and know that we can see the rainbow in our hearts and know that God is not going to destroy us. Now, as a child of God in this earth, we will still be tossed to and fro by the waves. And we may still doubt whether that boat will hold us up. But I tell you that God will come on the scene and he'll show that rainbow to you. And the sun will surely rise up and clear the clouds out of the sky. It works that way. In the midst of our doubts, God reassures us that the covenant still exists between us and him. I've heard many people say that they doubted their salvation. And I don't believe that that's a wrong thing. There may be some that say, "Well, if you doubt your salvation, there's something wrong with you." To the contrary, my friend, I say that most people at some point have at least questioned. I know that in my heart that I was saved by the grace of God at 12 years old, but I can tell you now that Satan has come along in times in my life and told me that there wasn't a God. Has he not you? And that all that I'm doing is in vain. Has he done that to you? And sometimes we can reel and we can rock on the waves because of those things. And it can cause us to doubt and to question what God has done for us. But I tell you, that just as surely as the trouble comes, if we will look to God, the peace will come. And the contentment and the knowledge to know that everything is all right. You see, as we look to that pot of gold, we know that it is heaven. It's our eternal possession that we will receive at the end of our life. And I think that John in the book of Revelations was able to reveal a little bit of that to us and to show us. He says that there will be no more death, there will be no more crying, there will be no more tears shed, there will be no graves over there in heaven because there will not be death anymore. There will not be sickness, there will be no more hospital visits, there will be no more suffering, no more pain, and the glory of God will be the light of that city. We know that we'll be able to dwell not just by way of the Spirit, temporarily at times with the Lord, but for an eternity at all times. And that we can live in his presence evermore. Their old song sings that I want a mansion by the Lord. And I believe that every one of us will have that. Because I believe that it won't be like it is here, where we'll be separated by barriers and by other people, but we will all be able to dwell in his presence. And we'll all be able to bask in the glory of God. And I believe that today, when the Spirit of God moves in our hearts, we just get a little glimpse and a little taste. we're able to see just a little bit of that that waits for us. Those of you that are here that may be lost, or maybe you are confused. Maybe you're saved and you're denying the Lord. I want to say this. The only thing that I stand on is my salvation. But I have a lot more assurance than just that day. If all you've got is some time in the past, you do need to pray. Because see, God doesn't just deal with us and leave us. God doesn't save our souls and give us peace for a moment and leave. You know, the children of Israel, as they went along and God would do things for them, he would have them set up memorials. He would have them set up monuments. And he would say so that the next generation, the generation to come, will see these and they will remember. You see, I have a lot of memorials in my life. I have a lot of times where I found trouble, but then there was God and that peace came to me just like when I was saved. I don't have to go, you know, people talk about Satan running you all the way back to the day you were saved. And that's as far as he can go. He can't go past last night with me. He can't, because that's as far as you've got to go. Question and look at your own heart and see, do those memorials exist? Did you find those times of trouble, but then that peace of God where God revealed that covenant to you that it existed? Are you denying that tonight? Because God does not find pleasure in that. If Noah would have went about constructing that ark as God planned, and he would have entered into that ark, and the waters rose up, and he would have just jumped ship and said, I don't think this thing's going to float. God would have been very displeased with that. But see, you can't jump ship because you've been sealed. It says that it was pitched within and without with tar. And when they went into that ark, he closed the door. And that door was sealed up behind them, so that they that were on the outside desiring to enter in could not. And even if they would have desired to go from inside out, which they wouldn't have, they couldn't do that either. Because God had sealed it. And the verses of scripture that I read says that we are sealed by the Spirit of promise. Satan can toy with this old flesh and he can rip at it and he can gnaw at it and he can make my mind believe many things, and he can do the same thing to each and every one of you. He can cause us to do things that we don't want to do. But he can't get past this soul, because it's sealed by the Spirit of God. And Satan, though he may have great power against your mind, and though he may have great power against your flesh, he has no power against the Spirit of God. He can't even come close to it. God has said that he is off limits. You know, when God was talking about Job, he told Satan that he could have his flesh, but he said he couldn't have his life. You see, Job was a child of God, and he said, what God was saying is, you can't touch his soul. You can do all these things to him, but you're not going there. I'm not going to let you. And he has never left anyone. We all have been kept in the hands of God. And I believe that Noah, as he was on that boat, was in the hand of God. And as that type or that picture of that ark and that boat represented safety that is found in Jesus Christ, I believe, as Jesus said and as he prayed for all of us, I have kept them which you have given me. And he truly has. He's kept every one of them. Every child of God from the beginning of time with Adam and Eve until the last one that is saved shall be born into this world. And that person is saved. He'll keep each and every one of them. So I want to tell you here tonight that if you are in doubt and if you are in confusion, I can give you this advice. If you are saved, you can't lose it. And if you're not saved, look at your life. Look at where you have been. Has God placed you in an ark of safety? Has he showed you how to fashion it? Have you been under great condemnation and you fashioned your life in a way that God was pleased with by way of repentance and faith in his son Jesus, and he gave you peace in it? Did you enter that ark? Have you found that safety before? Because I believe that there's still many people that have and deny it. But don't let me confuse you that way. Because if you haven't found that safety, you need to. Because, you know, on the other hand, there is Satan. And the scriptures tells us that Satan would appear as an angel of light. And I believe that he would deceive even the very elect if he could. But I believe that he has taken many men, women, boys and girls, children, and he has given them a false impression of safety. I want to say that Satan has tried to build an ark of safety, but it's a false one. It won't stand. And when trouble comes, when the gospel is preached, and the trouble comes upon your heart, that boat won't stand. It'll sink. And you'll know for sure whether or not you are a child of God based on whether you have that safety. Do you feel safe and secure? Do you feel as though if tonight was the night that your soul would be required of you, that you would have that peace and that safety? Well, I believe that the peace and safety of God is that real. I believe just as safe and secure as Noah, as he stood on that boat and he looked out at that troubled water, I believe that the salvation of God is just that safe. As God was describing the way of salvation to Nicodemus and saying that we must be born again, he said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Everyone. We can feel the breeze. We can go outside and we can feel it and we can know for sure that the breeze is blowing. There's not a one of us, if the wind is blowing, that we go outside and we feel it. We can't deny it, can we? We feel it. We can't see it with these physical eyes. We can't reach out and touch it. And if we did not have a tree to look at or a flagpole to look at, we would be hard-pressed if it was a light breeze to know which direction it was blowing from. But even at that, where does the wind come from? And where does it go? We can't determine that, but we know it's there. We know it's for sure. I don't know how the Spirit of God does what it does. Now, there's a lot of good preachers, and they can get up and they can tell you, and they can explain to you why, and they can explain to you in part what God is doing when you're saved. But they just can't get right down there and tell you about what is going on. You see, that's from God. But this much I know, as little as I can tell you about the very process of what God does when he reaches down and touches a lost sinner and brings them into that ark of safety, as little as I can tell you about it, I can stand up here with a surety and with 100% knowledge and tell you that he does it. And I believe just as everyone that is born of the Spirit, just as the wind bloweth, everyone knows where it comes and where it goes. You cannot tell, but you know that the wind is blowing. Everyone that's been saved has had that experience. If you're saved, you have an experience. And you need to go back and draw from that well because it ain't dry. If you've been saved and you're denying God and you're saying that well is empty, God is not pleased, and I believe that God will punish a child of God that denies him, the one that has delivered him from his sins. Don't deny God and say there's nothing to draw out of that well. If you've drawn out of that well before, there's water there. Because he says that it will spring up into everlasting life. It's just as a spring of water welling up, and it's always present. Here in this part of the country, the water table can get low. And at times, if you've got an old well house or a well pump, the water may get dirty and eventually it may dry out. But I'm going to tell you what, that well of water that springs up into everlasting life will never go dry. You may say that it's dry. You may say there's nothing to draw with, but there's plenty to draw with. God will give you everything. And he'll take you back to it. If you've drawn there before and you can't find the well, he'll take you back to it and he'll show you this is where it's at. And you can get water. Don't deny God if he's took you there before. But if you don't know the peace of God and you don't know that well of water that springs up in everlasting life, he can show you the way. And tonight, if you'll just ask him, don't ask the preachers, if the Lord leads people to encourage sinners, that's all fine and good. But listen to the Lord. You see, just as he told Noah back over here in the 6th chapter in the 14th verse, he says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. And he goes on and he says, the length shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And I can just imagine that Noah, a good builder can see a house before it's built. That's what separates a good builder. See, I'm not that good. I can only see things as I'm putting it together. But you ever seen those kind of people that almost they see the finished product as they're working on it? And I believe Noah did that. And I believe that's what God does with us in revealing his son to us. You see, we're lost and we're away from him and we cannot see him. But God starts showing us the pieces and he starts building it for us. And as I said, as a young boy when I was 12 years old, I'd heard about Jesus, but I hadn't seen him. But God started showing me, this is the size of it. This is the size of the door, and you shall put a door, and you shall put a window in it. And I was able, through the grace of God and by his faith, to see the finished product. And he helped me build it. If you're here tonight and lost, don't listen to everybody. Let God tell you the fashion of it. You see, I can stand up here and I can describe Jesus to you. I can go back in the book of Isaiah and I can give you what Isaiah says about Jesus. And I believe for the time that Isaiah lived in, it's a beautiful thing to see how Isaiah could look at and see the fashion of the Lord in the flesh. And I can give you the fashion of the Lord in the flesh by way of the prophet Isaiah, but I can't give you the fashion of the nature of Jesus. I can't give you what he is really all about. I can't tell you, I can tell you that he was sinless, and I can tell you that he gave his life for you. And I can tell you that he died on a cross and he rose again 3 days later. And I can tell you all these things, but if you're just hearing me, you won't get anything. You see, but when God takes the words of the gospel and then he begins to fashion it and he begins to give you the instructions, he can show you. You know, as that eunuch was reading in the book of Isaiah and he was trying to understand what the scriptures were saying, and Philip lighted there upon the chariot with him, and Philip began to preach to him Jesus. It wasn't Philip that convinced him of Jesus, but it was God. It was God through the mouth of Philip that he showed this eunuch the fashion of the Lord. And he said, I believe. And I believe tonight that if you will truly look at the gospel and you will allow God to show you the fashion of Christ, then you can be saved tonight. And if that storm comes tonight, and you have to take your last breath tonight and face your maker, you can know that it's pitched within and without, and that the Holy Spirit has sealed you, and that you have a better place waiting. I tell you what, there's nothing in this life. There's nothing in this life like the security found in God. And you can have it. And you can have it tonight. Let God do it. Let him show you. If Noah would have doubted his ability to build that ark, and if he would have not listened to God in its construction, he never would have got to the point where it would have been built and where it would have actually standed true and been able to face the test of the water. And he wouldn't have been able to get to that point where that boat landed on that firm foundation. and able to reaffirm that covenant with God of the rainbow. You see, the divine tokens begin with God. And as those people, as those children of Israel there were preparing to be delivered from the land of Egypt, and God said, the blood shall be a token for you. It shall be upon the doorpost and the lintels. And it shall be a token to you upon the houses in which you are. And he said, when I shall see the blood, I will pass over you. And that the plague shall not come upon you when I smite the land of Egypt. The blood of the Lamb. God told them exactly what to do. He told them how to prepare the lamb for the slaughter. And when they had seen it and they prepared it, he told them to eat the flesh thereof. Jesus talks about eating his flesh, didn't he? Not literally, but being able to consume him in a spiritual sense comes from God. But as they prepared it, and then God said, take the blood and apply it to the doorpost and the lintels. I have no doubt that as death passed, I can't imagine what it must have been like in Egypt when death passed through that night. Don't you know the cries went up as those people discovered the firstborn dead? And I have to believe that they knew as it passed by. And as these Israelites were there in their houses and it passed by, I have to believe that there may have been some concern. But through the midst of that concern, they knew that the promise of God standed sure, that the blood was upon the doorpost and lintel, and he said, if it's there, I'll pass over you. If the blood is upon your heart tonight, he will pass over you. Whenever you take your last breath or whenever you stand before an almighty God in judgment. But if you don't have that blood applied, he won't. But just as he did to those children of Israel, you've got to understand, they were in bondage for hundreds of years. They hadn't had no relationship with God. They were just beginning to understand God when he was revealing those plagues upon Egypt. They didn't understand, but God gave them the directions. He doesn't expect you to know the way. He doesn't expect you to know exactly how to seek him. All he expects you to do is be willing. He wants you to be in a condition where you know that you need him, or else you won't even look to the fashion. And he wants you to come and let him show you the way, because he will. Listen to him. Open up your heart to him. Don't blindly seek God. Ask God to show me. If you've been seeking the Lord and you're lost and you haven't been successful at it, I don't know what your problem is. But I know the root of the problem is that you're not seeking him in the fashion that he wants you to. And if that's the case, then forget about what all you've done. Take the instructions that you have created and throw them away. Take the plan that you have and what you expect to see and cast them out. And say, God, show me your plan. Show me your way for coming to God. Show me your way for believing in Jesus. And he'll do it. He will show you. He won't leave you without advice, and he will not leave you without instructions. And I don't mean incomplete instructions. You ever open up a something to try to get it together and instructions don't match what you got? Or you open up a bag of parts and they're not all there and you can't complete it? That don't happen with God. All the tools that are necessary are there in him. All the instructions are clearly laid out. And I can tell you tonight that if this boy here can follow him, you can. You can do it. There's been many simple-minded folks that didn't have any education They probably couldn't read an instruction manual of any kind. But they could understand God's instructions to its completion. And you can tonight too. You can have that. I want us to have a song tonight. If you're here and lost, forget what you know about seeking God. Now, I'm not saying forget God. If He's dealing with you, you need to heed Him. But what I'm saying is forget what you know. You know, many times us men, when we start building something, we don't look at the instructions, and then we have to get quite humble. And we have to scrap what we know and get humble about it. And in front of our wives and everything else, we have to go back to the beginning. That's hard, isn't it? But it's that way with seeking God. If it hasn't worked, then it's not God's way. Seek out God's way. Go to the beginning. Start over. Don't try to build on what you did yesterday. Don't try to, you know, whenever we try to correct our mistakes by trying to cover them up and fix them, we just make bigger ones, don't we? Don't do that. Throw it all away and start anew. Start again. What have you got to lose? Start fresh. Say, God, everything I've done has not worked. And I'm not giving you the words to say, but that's what you're going to have to do in your heart. Everything I've tried has not worked. Show me what will work. If you've sought Him out 1,000 times, don't say that, God, you're not going to save me because I've sought you 1,000 times. The reason He ain't saved you is because you ain't sought Him right. Just say, God, I've tried all these times my way. Give me yours. Give me the solution. Give me the fashion. And He'll show you. Let's have a song.